Joe Biden is at it again with another racist gaffe. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez blasts the bipartisan infrastructure deal. Plus, Kamala Harris actually makes a trip to the southern border. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. Hope you had a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a big show today. It's Relaxed Brain Friday. So you know what? I'm going to just turn off the timer because we've got a lot of material. We're just going to dive in and we're going to start with Joe Biden because the time has come. It's actually past time where we need to sit down and someone needs to give him a test because he is losing it upstairs. And I'm not just talking about stumbling around or losing your train of thought. The gas just keep on coming. He's forgetting people's names and he's saying things that are flat out racist. But here's the deal. I've never seen so many gaffes packed into such a short period of time. Remember, just a couple of weeks ago, Joe Biden was talking about black entrepreneurs. He said this.
The data shows young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers. They don't have accountants, but they have great ideas.
Unreal. Black entrepreneurs don't have lawyers or accountants. And why? I guess because the evil white entrepreneurs took them all. But what he's really stating is that blacks are incapable of having lawyers and accountants. They can't do it. Somehow they're unable to do it. So the Democrats need to do it for them. It's insulting and it's racist. Well, guess what? Joe Biden was at it again. Just yesterday, he made another statement, this time regarding Latinos.
It's awful hard as well to get Latinx vaccinated as well. Why? They're worried that they'll be vaccinated and deported.
Yep, he said that. What is with this guy? I mean, black entrepreneurs don't have lawyers or accountants, and Latinos, they're all illegal aliens. That's what he's saying. The embedded racism is just glaring, and yet Joe Biden is never asked about this in the media. Ask the questions. If he didn't mean it, why does he keep saying it? And that is just one gaffe. That is just one gaffe from yesterday. He was stumbling. He was doing creepy whispers just over and over again. Here's a sample.
I also want to thank Senator Shelley Caputo for earlier work in infrastructure agreement. When I raised that before, some of you looked at me like, where have you been, Biden? You've been spending too much in China or something. I haven't been to China. Guess what? Employers can't find workers. I said, yeah, pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now.
Stumbling on names, some weird I haven't been to China comment, and then, of course, the creepy whisper. That was just one example of it. He did it over and over again yesterday. It was so strange. And then his statement right there shows that he has no concept of the economy either. We all knew that by pushing these payments to keep people from working, one of the goals was for employers to be forced to boost up their minimum wage. That's what the Democrats think. Yet, if businesses are struggling, they surely can't pay more. And why? Because they're struggling. It's just the Democrats have no concept of the economy. But he wasn't done. He said even more. If you recall, yesterday there was this condo collapse in Florida. Many people were hurt and killed, and this was Biden.
Will you travel to Florida, sir?
Can we ask you about Florida, what you've learned?
I apologize. Yes, thank you, my president.
So that was Joe Biden forgetting, walking away from the podium, and Kamala Harris, who always seems to be at his side, reminding him that, oh, you should say something about the Florida building collapse, about the people who died and were injured. And then he chuckles about being reminded about it. But let's go back to his original gaffe, the Latinos. All Latinos are illegal aliens. I wish the media would just ask him questions because according to data, 38% of Latinos have had at least one COVID shot, 38%. Only 33% of blacks have received at least one COVID shot. So if the Latinos aren't getting shots because they're afraid of being deported, I wonder what he'd say about the reason for the blacks. Please, someone in the media, ask him, because his response will probably be the gaffe of the century. Okay, next, let's talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, and now Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because she went on an epic Twitter rant yesterday to blast the bipartisan infrastructure deal that was crafted by a bunch of rhino Republicans. Now, we can debate the merits of $600 billion in new spending or the fact that these Republicans were played for chumps because the deal isn't going to go anywhere, but we're talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's blasting the deal for one main reason, and I'll give you a guess. Any guesses? Any takers onto why she's blasting the deal? If anyone raised their hand out there and said, racist, you win. Of course, she blasts the deal because she says it's racist. Here's AOC. The diversity of this bipartisan coalition pretty perfectly conveys which communities get centered and which get left behind when leaders prioritize bipartisan deal-making over inclusive lawmaking, which prioritizes delivering the most impact possible for the most people. Yep, because this bipartisan team was all white, that means it's absolutely impossible to do anything good because they're inherently evil, of course. She says that these white people engage in bipartisan deal-making while people of color engage in inclusive lawmaking. But she wasn't done, and here's another one. This is why a bipartisan package alone isn't acceptable. The exclusion and denial of our communities is what DC bipartisan deals require. That's how you get GOP on board. Don't do much, any, for the working class and low income, or women, or people of color communities, or unions, etc. We must do more. So what she's saying is this bipartisan deal, that's for the white people. And the other part of the infrastructure, the human infrastructure, which has nothing to do with infrastructure, that's for the POC, the women, people like that, the non-racist part of it. And she goes on. Meanwhile, when representatives of excluded communities object to the exclusion and marginalization required to make many bipartisan deals work, they're dismissed as unreasonable. So who, what often benefits from this type of bipartisan deal making? Corporations and structural racism. There we go. Structural racism. Folks, this stuff gets so old. They always play the race card. But what the Democrats don't seem to realize is the more they play it, the more people just get tired of it. They say everything is racist now. They produce studies that say a 3-month-old can be racist. When that happens, people start to roll their eyes and just move on. AOC's at it again, and apparently she didn't get that strategy memo that people are over this. All right, next let's talk about Kamala Harris, because it's been over 3 months since she's been anointed as the border czar, and she's done nothing. And why not? Because Biden, Harris, and the radical left don't want to do anything. They want open borders because that brings power and chaos. Recall this moment from the 2020 Democrat presidential debate, one of the debates. The Democrats were asked, will your health care plan cover illegal aliens? Check it out.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Okay. Biden raised his hand. Kamala Harris raised her hand. In fact, they all did. And if you want to talk about root causes, as Kamala Harris loves to say, there's a root cause right there. If you give people an incentive to come, they will come. They will come here illegally, but they can't get a clue. But while Harris is addressing these so-called root causes, the pressure has been building and building for the border czar to actually visit the southern border. Well, guess what? She's decided to finally do it. That's today. She's visiting the border, and here's the story. Vice President Kamala Harris finally will visit the southern border on Friday, her office confirmed, as former President Donald Trump claimed his upcoming trip to the region forced her into the move. 3 months after President Biden tapped her to handle the crisis of surging illegal migration, Ms. Harris will make a stop in El Paso, Texas on Friday. Chief Spokeswoman Simone Sanders said the trip is part of the Vice President's ongoing work to address the causes of migration from Central America. She'll be accompanied by Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. So, Harris is heading to El Paso a full 3 months after being anointed as the border czar. And as you saw in the story, former President Trump says the only reason she's going is because he's going. That's right. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, former President Trump, and a host of others will be visiting the southern border on Wednesday. Shortly after that announcement, Harris's team said, you know what? We're going to visit the border. Now's the right time. We're going to go on Friday. So to discuss all of this, we've got our friend, Republican strategist and attorney, Amanda Mackey. Amanda, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. So we have Harris, who hasn't been to Europe, hasn't been to the southern border yet. Now she decides to go. What do you think about this trip and what is she going to accomplish?
Well, I don't know what she's going to accomplish because she's actually not going to the southern border. She's not going to the lower Rio Grande Valley where you have all the southern border humanitarian crisis happening. You don't have the Donna facilities, the McAllen facilities. You don't have all of those things in El Paso. There are 140% more of the border crossings happening in the lower Rio Grande Valley than in El Paso. But I guess it's a good photo op for her to be able to go to El Paso. You know, she can't talk to the landowners who are being trespassed. She can't talk to the Customs and Border Patrol agents who are dealing with this crisis. But she will visit the state of Texas and she will visit a border town. It's been 92 days since she was tasked with this role. Now, imagine if you had a job that required you to show up and for 92 days, you chose not to show up. You'd be fired. Anyone else would be fired. But Kamala Harris still has this job. And were it not for really Ron DeSantis, Republican governor of Florida, saying we're going to send reinforcements to the state of Arizona and to the state of Texas. And then you have Governor Abbott of Texas saying we're going to build and appropriate $250 million for building the wall in Texas. I don't know that she would be going there. Of course, Trump will be visiting as well. But look at what the Republican governors are doing. They're stepping in to do the job that Vice President Harris and President Biden won't do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I, you know, full kudos to Governor Abbott, Governor DeSantis, and all these governors that are stepping in to do what the federal government won't do. Now, you alluded to former President Trump's trip. Of course, Jen Psaki over at the White House, she was asked about this. She was asked about the timing since, as you said, it's been over 90 days since being appointed border czar, but no trip. I want to play you this exchange from the White House press conference and get your reaction.
Would you concede there is a political calculation to having the vice president visit the border before Donald Trump goes, and with a drumbeat from Republicans who have counted the days that she has not visited the border? Isn't there a political decision in the timing of this?
Well, Kelly, I would say that we have no way to predict what former President Trump will say when he goes to the border. We can only guess. I don't think our view is that the vice president making a trip to the border with the Secretary of Homeland Security to assess and take a look at progress that's been made is going to prevent or change what the former president of the United States says when he goes to the border in a couple of days.
All right, so Fox News's Peter Ducey asked similar questions as well. And Jen Psaki's response was, hey, you know what? Harris always planned to go to the border, just at the appropriate time. So, Amanda, why is this suddenly the appropriate time now that President Trump has made his announcement?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that the president, at the invitation of Texas Governor Abbott, is going to the border. He's taking alongside 12 House Republicans with him to visit the border because there's inaction from the federal government. There's inaction from this administration. And if President Trump can use his voice to elevate this issue and elevate this crisis and put some pressure on congressional leaders and the White House to do something, he's going to do that. Because for 4 years, he worked so hard to build the homeland to a secure place, to ensure that that border is fortified at our southern border so that we wouldn't have this type of humanitarian crisis. And as an example, you have in March of 2020, 3,000 unaccompanied migrant children at the southern border, March 2021, 19,000. And that is as a result of one stroke of a pen that Joe Biden took the day that he was sworn in as president, doing away with the catch and release, the remain in Mexico policy, and building the wall. And so everything that President Trump worked so hard to build, he destroyed in hours of being sworn in. And I think President Trump wants to go there and ensure that what we worked so hard to build over the last 4 years can come back, and the members of Congress and this administration see that.
Yeah, Amanda, you're absolutely right. We're seeing the action being taken by these governors, by former President Trump, who's not even in office, and he's still concerned about what's going on at the border. But those, your comments at the beginning were absolutely awesome. What Harris is actually doing, folks, is a photo op. That she's not going to the real crucial centers. She's heading out for a photo op to say, hey, you know what? We've moved children from A to place B, and that's what she's doing. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Great comments from Amanda Mackey. And folks, this whole thing shows just how unserious Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are about doing anything about the border. This photo op in El Paso is nothing more than that. A photo op, nothing will get done, and they just hope that the whole issue just fades away. In the meantime, when you look at the data, it's actually getting worse. Month after month after month, Biden and Harris are doing nothing. Okay, so now it's Friday, and we've had Joe Biden with his incredible gaffes. We've got AOC, and we've got Kamala Harris's photo op. We need to ask them, do you have a relaxed brain?
I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain.
First, let's talk about first, because the radical left, they love first. They love pointing out first, historical first, usually based on sexuality or gender or race or ethnicity. Just last month, Jen Psaki had a break. She had a fill-in at the White House press briefing, a step-in, a fill-in substitute press secretary. Here is how Essence magazine described it. Karine Jean-Pierre makes history as second Black woman to give a White House briefing. So she's the second Black woman to do it, but that still makes history. In this case, the history-making first is actually a second. But in light of that, in honor of that, this headline caught my eye. First openly gay player to be selected in NFL draft tweets support for first openly gay active NFL player. Lots of firsts there, but is it really headline material? Think about that. And of course, if it's relaxed brain, we've had Joe Biden, we're going to give you a little more. We're going to give you a little more Joe Biden, because earlier in the week, he basically threatened to nuke the American people if they tried to rise up against a tyrannical government.
Those who say the blood of the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not watered with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
What kind of message is Joe Biden sending there? Of course, he begins by stumbling over his words and forgetting what he's supposed to say. But then he ends with nuclear weapons? What is going on? And next, we've got a survey. Survey results from North Dakota State University, which shows how left-wing indoctrination is affecting college students. In response to the question, are you proud to be American? 57% of liberal-identifying students answered no. This is in contrast to the 73% majority of conservatives who answered yes to the same question. Campus Reform reached out to the NDSU professors John Bitson and Clay Routledge, the survey designers, who explained their surprised reaction to the data. This is a surprising result. Previous work done by Clay Routledge shows that most Americans are proud to be American, regardless of political party, gender, race, religion, income, or employment status. We don't know why college students answered in this way, but the difference between answers by college students and the general population on a very similar question seem to suggest something unique that is worth further exploration, the professors jointly commented. Well, the only thing that is surprising is the fact that these professors are surprised. Because if you have left-wing indoctrination, if you just push left-wing ideology, you know what you're going to get? Left-wing radicals graduating and making their way into society. That's what we're facing. There's no surprise at all. Okay, how about some headlines from the Babylon Bee? Breaking news from the Babylon Bee. Because Joe Biden was at it. He was talking about nukes. Well, how about some news on a galactic scale? Check it out. Emperor Palpatine urges citizens to give up their blasters since they'd need a Death Star to beat the Empire. Just to let you know, the Bee also reported that there seems to be a surge in F-15 sales to the general public. Just wanted to pass that one along. And now, regarding Kamala Harris's border trip, we have this. Kids in cages disguise themselves as BLM rioters in hopes of Kamala freeing them. It's a good strategy. And then, since we talked about transgender athletes at the Olympics this week, it's one of our headlines, one of our main stories of our show this week, we have this Babylon Bee headline. Female weightlifter suffers tragic testicle injury just weeks before Tokyo Olympics. It's unreal, but hey, that's the radical left. According to them, men can now have birth. Men can give birth to babies. So if that can happen, then I guess women can have testicle injuries. That's the radical left for you. All right, folks, that's our show for today. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. All right, friends, please tune in tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Time, for our Saturday live stream. We have special guest Terry Schilling from the American Principles Project. We're going to talk about their new initiative, plus his experience in politics, all the issues of the day. It's going to be great. Saturday live stream, 11 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.